Good afternoon, Anchor Baptist Church. Thank you for taking time this Sunday afternoon to enjoy this service. And we're praying that God would do something great in our midst. And I thank you for your patience as we continue to navigate these days. And we're premiering these services, in case you're wondering. We're premiering these services because soon we're going to begin the Teen Bible Club, which is an announcement, actually. Praying to start that on April 11th. In order to do that, we need both sides of our church meeting location to have the children on one side and the teenagers on the other, and therefore there would be no place to do a live stream meeting in the afternoon. And so we're premiering these videos as we move forward in 2021 and asking the Lord to continue to bless and work. And so we pray that these Sunday afternoon preaching and teaching time will continue to help you as we all need to grow in grace. To God be the glory. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and then I have several things to give you by way of announcement, and then we're going to open up God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the Lord's day. Thank you for the opportunity to teach your word and preach your word, Lord. I pray that you would empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. I pray that each listener today would also be attentive to what you have for us in this hour. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is indwelling every believer today. And I pray that we would listen to the Holy Spirit and apply these principles and truths to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. And it is the end of March, and we're grateful for the faithfulness of the Lord this month. As always, He is faithful. And again, our family would like to say thank you to the Anchor Baptist Church family for your prayers for us while we were away for Brianna's wedding. And now we are here at our home in Coquitlam, and all is well. And we thank God for what He did and what He's continuing to do. So thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your generosity expressed to Brianna and Moises. And we're thankful for the ceremony and all that took place there in Blaine, Washington. A few things by way of announcement, Anchor Baptist Church family. As a reminder, please be ready to pick up your children today between 4 and 4:15. Maybe try to be there at 4 waiting so that when they're ready, you can pick them up and take them home. They are in the Bible Club right now, and I'm sure they're learning much, and we're grateful for that. Also, I mentioned just a few moments ago, the Teen Club will be starting on April 11th, God willing. More details will be coming about that, hopefully, in the upcoming days. Also, this coming Wednesday, Brother Charles Sutphin will be preaching for us. We're glad to have another one of the laymen at Anchor Baptist Church preaching. And in addition to that, in the service on Wednesday, we will be getting a video update from the Haley family. Mike Haley family, they are in Botswana, and they're moving forward by faith, and great things are happening there. And we're going to see a video on their ministry on this coming Wednesday. And so that's at 7 o'clock, live stream service, and I trust that you will be a part of that on this coming Wednesday. All right, let's take our Bibles this afternoon and turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, we're going to read one verse there to kind of launch into our lesson today as we continue in this series of building a strong marriage. If you remember, I preached on this a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, when we were on the live stream. I think it was the 14th, I think it was, on the 14th, just 2 weeks ago. And, of course, last Sunday afternoon, we heard from Brother Bach. Great message. I hope you were listening. I hope you were tuned in or you have watched it since then. If not, you need to watch that video. Tremendous message. Mission possible. Great message from the Word of God. But I'd like to continue this series on having a strong marriage. And in Psalm 127, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." The first part of that verse teaches us something about our life, and especially in the sense of our marriage and our homes. Except the Lord build the house. We could say, except the Lord build the house, except the Lord build your marriage or my marriage. It's in vain that build it. In other words, we can try to build a home, and we can try to build a marriage, and we can try to build our life on what we want and what we think is best, or we can allow God to build it through us. And that's the best way to do it, by the way. Letting God build our house, build our marriage, build our life on the principles of His Word through His Holy Spirit indwelling us. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, we began the series on having a strong marriage, speaking about the fundamentals of a strong marriage. Do you remember what the first fundamental of a strong marriage is? Okay, I'll remind you. I'm sure you probably know what it is. It is love, charity. And we looked at that from several different passages of Scripture. We went from 1 Corinthians 13, and we looked at several verses there, verse 4, 5, and onward, and just went through and described much about love from the book of 1 Corinthians 13. And I'd like you now to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And this is a very familiar chapter with regards to marriage and the home. And so I'm not going to re-teach and preach the first point, but that was, again, the first fundamental of home and of marriage is what? It's love. That's right. And so if you miss that, you need to go back and watch that and listen to that as we go and we think about all that God has for us in this area of love. And I'd like today to look at the second, a second foundation for your marriage and my marriage. And we're looking today at Ephesians chapter number 5. And let's begin reading at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. All right, now verse 31. Listen carefully. Follow along here. For this cause, I'd like you to underline that word cause in your Bible. For this cause, we're going to talk about that, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And then Paul explains it in verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. For this cause, I believe that is of the utmost importance as we consider this second, a very important part of having a strong marriage. The fundamentals of having a strong marriage. We said number one is love. Number two, write this down. Number two, loyalty. Loyalty. Ephesians 5:31 speaks of a leaving, do you see it there? And a cleaving. That's the word joined there. It's also mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. Would you take your Bible and go with me back to Genesis chapter 2? Genesis chapter 2. And we'll read a verse there, verse 24, where the Bible says, Genesis chapter 2, and verse 20, let's read verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. Loyalty speaks of a leaving and a cleaving there. This is exactly what Paul is writing about in chapter 5 and verse 31, is this very first marriage between Adam and the woman. In fact, she wasn't even called Eve yet. That was to come. And this is a great picture here. This is what he expects, not only of the people in Ephesus, with their marriage, but it's what he expects in our marriage today, that there would be a leaving And then a cleaving. What does this mean? It means several different things. One thing it means is that there is a oneness. There is a oneness in marriage. There is a fundamental shift from every other relationship in your life. Let me just help you here. Let me just help me too. I need it. That everyone who's married today, that you're listening today, or you hope to be married someday, I want you to take note of this. Marriage is a relationship that is to be different than any other relationship. In other words, whether it's husband and wife, excuse me, whether it's your parents, whether it's your friends that you fellowship with and all that, they are in subjection, they are underneath, if you will, the relationship of a husband and a wife. We are to leave every other relationship and we are to cleave. We are to be joined. There is a oneness that is to be in every marriage. What are we saying? All other relationships are secondary. We need to be very careful that we don't have someone else who is closer to us than our own spouse. And by the way, it doesn't have to always be someone of the opposite gender. Of course, that's something I would never advise, that a man have a close relationship with a lady and a woman have a close relationship with a man that is not their spouse. I would never advise that, apart from family. Of course, I'm saying someone besides family. But what we're saying is it could even be that, let's say, I would have a relationship with another man in the sense of friends and always spending time with so-and-so and going and playing basketball and doing this or doing that. And nothing wrong with that, but it should be underneath. It should be underneath and should be secondary to the relationship that I have in my marriage. My loyalty, when I said I do, July 9th, 1994, my loyalty, humanly speaking, my loyalty was taken from my parents and given to my wife. When you said I do, when you said I do, sir or ma'am, to your spouse, your loyalty was taken from whoever was in your life at that moment. And it was given to your bride, sir. It was given to your groom, ma'am. And there's a great picture here that is being developed by the Apostle Paul. And we'll mention that here in just a moment. But I'm concerned today that even in godly homes, Christian homes, that we have marriages that there is disloyalty within the marriage. There's a disloyalty. In other words, there is something or someone closer to you. I'm talking about humanly speaking. Remember last week we talked about our love for one another, and our love for one another is not going to be what God intended it to be unless our unless our love for God is what it ought to be. And so I'm not saying that our relationship with our spouse is greater than God. Of course not. No, our loyalty is to the Lord. But I'm saying, humanly speaking, that our relationship with our spouse is to be set aside. It is to be a priority. That means that the relationship with my parents was never the same after July 9th. I still honor my parents, yes. I still love my parents, yes. But I do not have the same relationship with my parents. Our daughter just got married just a few days ago. And from at that very moment, when that ceremony ended, and I pronounced them husband and wife, from that moment, for all eternity, her relationship with her parents is no longer the same. That doesn't mean she doesn't love us. That doesn't mean she wouldn't honor us and so forth. But now our daughter is to be loyal to her husband first and foremost, and her husband to her. And so in the marriage relationship, it must have preeminence over every other relationship. I want to encourage you with that way. Notice that word join in Ephesians 5:31. Join. The word join means to be glued. To be glued. It is the idea of two things being bonded together in such a way that they cannot be torn apart. I remember a Christian movie that came out several years ago where the gentleman was explaining this, and he took a salt shaker and he took a pepper shaker and he glued them together and with some kind of really strong substance. And he said, that's exactly what your marriage is like. And if you try to get them apart, The only way you're going to get them apart is to break one of the other jars. And of course, we have salt and pepper, completely different taste and spices. We have a husband and a wife, completely different personalities, completely different ways of thinking, obviously, completely different ways of expressing love for one another, but they're one and the same and they complement one another. And so that's exactly what happened. When you got married, you were glued together. You were joined together with your spouse. It is a bond so strong and so deep that you cannot tell where one begins and the other ends. Two become one. That's exactly what the Bible picture of marriage is. There is a oneness in marriage. Marriage Math is a great little book, if you don't have that, written by Pastor Sexton. Marriage Math. 1 + 1 = 1. That's exactly right. When we come together, we are now one. One in everything, and moving forward. That doesn't mean that we're completely the same, but it means we are joined together. There is a leaving and there is a cleaving. And I want you though to, let's go back, if you will, to that word cause. For this cause. You see, the cause of marriage must be emphasized and the cause of marriage must be guarded. Do you see what the cause of marriage is? You see what the cause of the loyalty within the marriage is? When it all boils down, why are we to be joined together? Why are we to leave and cleave? Why are we to be in oneness? Why are we to have no other relationship that is above the husband and wife? Because here's why. Here's why. The Bible tells us why. Verse 32, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, your marriage today, sir, is a picture of Christ and the church. Your marriage today, ma'am, is a picture of the relationship between Christ, the husband, and the church, the wife. And that relationship is like none other. The relationship between Christ and the believer, Christ and the believer. Isn't that supposed to be our number one relationship? Yes, it is. Praise God that He is faithful and praise God that He is able to do everything that we need. But isn't it amazing how many times in our life our eyes are drawn to someone else before they're drawn to our God? You see, that's the picture of marriage. That's the oneness of marriage. That's the preeminence of marriage. We are telling the world how important God is in our life and how important the relationship is between Christ and the believer. That's why the loyalty must be guarded. How is the next generation of believers going to know how to be married and how to follow biblical principles? They have examples in the Bible to follow and not to follow, right? They have examples, humanly speaking, in the sense of right now, currently, not just human. I guess we're all humans, aren't we? But they have examples to follow now, I'm saying. I want my example, not perfect, I know that for sure. But I want my example of oneness in marriage to be one worth copying most of it, not all of it for sure. But I want this marriage to say to the world, this is the relationship that I have. This is a picture of something. As Paul said, I speak concerning Christ and the church, Christ and believers. That's the picture. That is the cause. That is why we leave and cleave, the oneness of marriage. Marriage is to show the relationship between Christ and the believer. Okay, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's look at some areas within 1 Corinthians 13 regarding how this loyalty looks in marriage. How does this loyalty look in our marriage? We're going to look at several characteristics of true loyalty. All right, I hope you'll take notes. I hope you're allowing the Holy Spirit of God to challenge you in your marriage. I hope that you want to have a godly marriage. And I hope that you want to love your spouse in a greater way. And I hope you want to be more loyal to your spouse in a greater way. Why do we want to be more loyal to our spouse? Because we want to be more loyal to Christ. We want the cause to be emphasized and we want the cause to be guarded. You see, when Satan starts to divide the husband and a wife, he is also clouding the picture or the cause of what marriage is all about. And so, please, we need to guard our marriages. And God is able to help us to have the marriage that honors Him. And that's what we want. And so part of that, we said, is love. We talked about that. Today, loyalty. All right, let's look at verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 7. Number 1, underneath this loyalty, what it looks like. Number 1, it beareth all things. See that? 1 Corinthians 13, 7. It beareth all things. What does this mean? It means that we are loyal even when things are difficult. You think about that word beareth, okay? It's not a bear like running through the forest, okay? It means to be up under something, to bear the weight, to bear the load, and to be able to carry something. You know, I was carrying a tent the other day. It was folded up, but I had it on my shoulder. And you've carried maybe a sack of potatoes before, or a sack of cement, up a sand, or the cement powder, or whatever. And you understand what I'm saying? To bear the load. That's what it talks about, being loyal. You know, every marriage is going to go through some heavy times, some challenging times. And the loyalty comes out in the husband or the wife as we are willing to bear all things, to bear up under the load. Trouble comes in your marriage, and trouble comes in our marriage. It could be emotional trouble. It could be physical trouble. It could be financial trouble. It could be trouble within our in-laws, or trouble within our outlaws. Just kidding. It could be trouble within our children. Trouble is inevitable within a home. It is within a marriage. Why? Because we're sinners. We have feet of clay. The curse is still in us. Now, it's not taking us to hell if we're saved. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be saved and on my way to heaven. But this whole body is still a sign of the curse of sin. Because I'm not getting younger, as you can tell. I'm not getting stronger, as you can tell. And you would have to say the same thing. And so, why do we think that we can? I don't think we know, think this, but sometimes, you know, when you're a newlywed, in the honeymoon stage, right? Everything's hunky-dory and all the rest of it. But I don't want to think like the honeymoon stage is going to wear off. No, our life, our marriages can be in that same way, in a continual way, growing in love. And by the way, you should love your husband. You should love your wife and be more loyal to your husband and more loyal to your wife every day and every week that goes by. Why? Because your love for God grows, your loyalty to God. Remember, this cause. And so the longer we're married, the more trouble that can come. But it's an opportunity for us within that trouble to bear all things. Bear with all things. You know, just recently I'm reminded of the relationship between Ron and Shelley Hamilton. I mean, it's a perfect picture of what we're talking about right now. They're not perfect people. What I'm saying is right now, Patch the Pirate and his wife Shelley Hamilton, Brother and Mrs. Hamilton, they're going through some very difficult times. You know, and Brother Hamilton, he doesn't even realize it anymore. The dementia that he has already taken effect to the point where he's a very simple child now, mentally speaking. And I'm not trying to be unkind at all. I love Patch the Pirate. He has ministered to me and ministered to my children and is now ministering to my grandchild. And many of you would say the same thing. But this journey, this trouble, Mrs. Hamilton and her children, but especially in the marriage relationship, Mrs. Hamilton is now showing the world, to God be the glory, the loyalty within her marriage. She hasn't walked out on him. She hasn't said, I can't handle this. She's maybe said that in a private moment talking to the Lord. But she's continuing to be loyal to her husband until death do they part, God willing, would be the prayer, of course. She's bearing all things. She's been documenting a lot of it on her Facebook page, and I've tried to share some of that from time to time. What a beautiful testimony of someone who is loyal in the marriage and is willing to, with God's help, it's not Mrs. Hamilton, it's not Shelley Hamilton, it's God in her, it's the Holy Spirit in her, but she's showing, bearing all things. I'm also reminded in the past of Dr. Tom Williams and his wife Pam. And for many, many years, He cared for her. And she had spinal meningitis while they were over on a trip in Israel, I believe it was. And basically, long story short, is that it brought her from being an adult wife and mother down to being basically a child. And he had to reteach her to do so many different things. And I remember them coming to our church in Michigan, and they would travel, and he preached in evangelism. He's still traveling, still preaching today. And he cared for his wife, Pam, year after year after year after year. The relationship that they had was no longer the same, in the sense of the physical relationship of marriage, even to communicate on a level front with his wife. That was no longer the same. And yet, over and over, I witnessed with my own eyes, as they would come to Adrian, Michigan, most every year, and many other places along the way, he was someone whom God helped to bear all things. That's what this loyalty is. And I'm thankful today for these two testimonies, and there's many others. And unfortunately, there's probably many testimonies that I would not want to share. In fact, I have one within my own family with my uncle. I won't share that today. The exact opposite happened when he needed his wife the most. Now God's taking care of him as well, and God will take care of you. But I'm so thankful for these that are examples of people that bear all things. So that's the first step. Then number two, notice what it says in verse 7, believeth all things. Believeth all things. What does this mean? Loyalty is expressed in our trust for our spouse. Our trust for our spouse. Now remember this cause. Aren't you glad that God bears all things for us? Aren't you glad that God can be trusted? Oh, the Bible tells us that so clearly. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Well, here Paul says to the church at Corinth in this love chapter, this charity chapter, charity believes all things. Loyalty believes all things. If there's one aspect in a marriage that is needed, there's more than one, but here's one that's definitely needed, and that is trust. Now, trust is vital. Trust should be given. But also I want to say, trust is earned. Now, God is the perfect example of trust. He doesn't have to earn it. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. But we're talking about one sinner married to another sinner. And we need to be willing to believe all things. Yes, we need to be willing to trust our spouse. Now, in every marriage, trust has been violated, maybe. Trust has been challenged. Trust has been tried. But again, we need to come back to this area that we were leaving and cleaving for this cause. And yes, every situation may have something unique within it where forgiveness needs to be given. And that's not even part of the discussion today in the lesson. Obviously, that's part of marriage. But we're saying, bears all things, believes all things. Excuse me. Then notice what it says. Hopeth all things. You see it there in verse number 7? Hopeth all things. What does this mean? Loyalty never looks for the worst in someone. You know, it's easy to see the faults and failures of your spouse. It's easy. You know your spouse probably better than anyone else does. Possibly your children as well. Would be in that, but I would say hopefully you know him even better or her better than them. You know their faults. You know how they are when their shoes are off, so to speak, right? You know how they are when they unbutton their button on their shirt and they relax. You know, you have an opportunity and I have an opportunity to express my loyalty in the fact that I look at them and I view them not through the lens of criticism and not through the lens of critiquing, but I look through the lens of seeing the best in them. Yes, we all have faults, and yes, we all have failures, okay? Let's just lay that out on the table right now. Tons of them. But We all have things that God has put into our life and helped us to do that benefit and help one another and make the marriage everything that God intended it to be. What are you going to focus on? Are you going to focus on the fact that she doesn't do this exactly how you want to? Are you going to focus on the fact that she's been your wife for 10 years? She's loved you. She's taken care of you. I mean, think about it, sir, when you were sick. And we men are so terrible when we're sick, and she took care of you and she met your needs. Or are you going to focus on the burnt toast? Or are you going to, I'm using that as an example, okay? Or are you going to focus on this? No, you have an opportunity. I have an opportunity, sir, to be hopeful, which means this, to look at the best in our spouse. I want to challenge you with that. I want to challenge you ladies as well in your home. There are so many things, I'm sure, that you could take out a piece of paper and write down, I need these things to be changed about my husband. No, you know what? If you've started that list, burn it. Tear it up. Put it in the shredder. Get rid of it. No, get out a piece of paper and write down everything that your husband looks after and takes care of and helps you and provides for you and shelters you and so forth. And focus on those things. Don't let the enemy turn your attention to only the negative. No, let your tell the enemy, leave me alone. I'm thankful for the husband I have. Remember, you left, and now you're cleaving. That relationship that you have with your husband, that relationship you have with your wife is unique. All right? Don't laugh, all right? That relationship that you have is numero uno. It's number one. And there is no number for God. He is preeminent, right? And so that relationship in this earth and where we are alive, it is the number one relationship. Therefore, it is up to you, it is up to me, it is up to us to yield to the Holy Spirit of God, which isn't it amazing? The context of Ephesians chapter number 5, talking about husbands loving your wives, but previous to that, and this cause, leaving and cleaving, but previous to that in verse number 18, Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit. We're not going to be loyal unless we're filled with the Spirit. We're not going to love our spouse unless we're filled with the Spirit. So loyalty bears all things. Oh, can I encourage you today, husband? Can I encourage you today, wife? Ask God to help you to be a better burden bearer for your spouse. Don't expect them to bear your burden. You bear their burden. You see, when a husband and a wife are looking at it like that, your goal for every day is to help bear the burden of your spouse. You know what happens when both spouses do that? Wow, that's a godly marriage. That's a strong marriage. But if my goal for the day is, I sure hope my wife is going to help me bear my burden. If she doesn't, wrong. Time out. Wrong attitude. Believes all things. Number two, believes all things. Trust. You need to ask God to help you to trust your spouse. And trust them. You say, but they failed me. You failed them too. Trust is earned. Yes, trust is protected. Yes, it's vital. It's earned, but it's given. We need to give our trust. For this cause, it also hopes all things. But notice lastly, in verse number 7, under the loyalty, it endureth all things. Endureth all things. What does this mean? Loyalty sticks it out. Loyalty sticks it out. It endureth all things. Think about that. You know, I have a picture in my mind because it's so fresh of the wedding. Quite honestly, I can still picture most of our wedding from 1994. I can picture the audience. I can picture the auditorium. I can picture the doors opening up. I can picture my father-in-law and my wife by his side holding his arm. I can picture them rounding the corner and coming down the aisle. And I can hear the music. I can see my father-in-law crying. He's with the Lord now. I can still remember that. I can remember my brother-in-law who's with the Lord and my sister-in-law singing. my sister-in-law playing, I can remember my wife singing to me. Just like it was yesterday, I remember it. I remember the pastor having my family, our parents come up on the, unbeknownst to us, I think he was just playing right then. I remember them coming up and praying over my wife and I in the wedding. It was a beautiful ceremony. And we give God all the glory for it. But you know, on that day, July 9th, 1994, I did not know what all things meant. I didn't know what it would mean. Now, I gave my vows and I meant them. But I didn't know what sickness and health meant. And we've been relatively healthy. We've had, in comparison, I guess, we've had struggles with health. I didn't know what beareth all. I didn't know what it meant to bear, endure all things. I gave my vows to my wife, and I honestly did not realize what it was going to mean to endure all things. And I'm not saying that being married to my wife has been heavy burden. I'm saying the things that in life come into the marriage that we don't know are coming. Health issues, financial issues, spiritual issues. And then for us, ministry, blessings and challenges along the way. And for you as well, all those things. The point is this, we must go back to this cause. You see, your loyalty in your marriage and my loyalty in my marriage is for a greater cause than my marriage. In fact, I would submit to you that the loyalty that needs to be in your marriage and my marriage is secondary for the marriage. The first purpose of it is this cause. And when we have that as our goal, for this cause shall a man leave and be joined unto his wife. Paul said, this is a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, sir, you're leading, by the way. You're leading in all of this. You should be leading within the home. You should be leading the home to draw closer to the Lord. You should be leading in the marriage to draw closer to the Lord. You should be leading in this loyalty. You should be leading in this love. That's what it says in Ephesians, doesn't it? Husbands, love your wives. Let's go back to Ephesians 5. We're almost done with today's lesson. Loyalty, loyalty. Ephesians 5:28. So ought men to love their own wives as his own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. We nourish and cherish and we're members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. I want to challenge you men today. Take the lead in the loyalty. Well, she's not being loyal to me. That doesn't absolve you of the responsibility of loving and being loyal to her. You say, Pastor Turner, my husband, he hasn't been loyal. He's failed. I thought of several things. You see, that's the wrong attitude. If that's been your attitude during this lesson today, first off, you need to repent of that attitude. And you need to pick up the mirror of the Word of God and say, how can I be a better wife? How can I be a more loyal husband? How can I be a more loving wife? And ask the Holy Spirit of God to help you. And believe me, this is a great prayer request today for every marriage within the Anchor Baptist Church and every marriage that's listening to this broadcast on this Sunday afternoon. We need marriages for this cause. We don't need to have a marriage that says, oh, great job, Pastor Turner and Mrs. Turner. Great job, Ben and Becky. Great job, Nathan and Rachel. Great job, this person. No, that's not it. This cause, the marriage is picturing the relationship between Christ and the believer. It's a testimony. It's a example. That's the way it ought to be. And by the way, when we join up with Christ, we're never disjoined. He never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. So, we've looked at two very important principles within our marriage. Number one was charity or love. Number two is loyalty. You and your wife, you and your husband, your relationship is number one. Everything else is underneath. You know, one of the main problems that can come up in a marriage that they say, whoever they is within the in-laws. And I can attest to that, not in my life. I can attest to that in counseling over time of that being a problem. You see, it's very important. Maybe this isn't one for you, but it's very important that each of you as husband and wife recognize that your loyalty is to one another, not to your mom and dad, and not to anyone else for that matter. Your loyalty is to one another. This is something that we need to be aware of. This is something that you and I need to ask God to help us with. To have a loyalty that bears all things, that believes all things, that hopeth all things. Focus on the positive. Quit focusing on what he or she doesn't do. Focus on what they do for you and how they help you and they love you. And then loyalty that endures all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word. And I trust and pray that we would apply these principles, that we would seek to have a strong marriage. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for taking the time, to be involved in this meeting. I know, again, this isn't even necessarily what we normally have been doing over the last year, but it's what we can do right now. And I hope and pray that we won't just hear these things, that we'll ask God to help us to apply them right away and practice them each and every day. Possibly, you know what you may need to do? You may need to, as soon as I'm quiet, and you may need to go to your spouse and say, you know what, I need to talk to you for a few minutes. Be willing to talk. Be willing to maybe seek some forgiveness or express yourself. And hey, spouse, be willing to listen. Okay? God bless you. Have a great rest of your Lord's Day.